Hey, you're listening to episode number 22 of the Obsessive Creative Podcast. This is a community of relentless creators, and here we talk about what it's like to be compelled and obsessed to create work that matters. I'm your host, Luke Cleland, and you can stay up to date on all things obsessive and creative by following me on Instagram at Luke WT Cleland. Let's get into the show. So I love learning something new. Like, one of my favorite pastimes is just searching things on Google. Like, I love, like, if I have a question about something, I love to learn the answer to it. And that's one of the things I love most about this podcast as well, is that I get to learn so much. You know, many of these episodes of the podcast are things that I'm currently learning. And another thing I get to do is talking with other creatives about what it means for them to be obsessively creative. And through that, I get to learn so much, because there is so much knowledge that can be found in someone's creative journey. And that's what today is all about. It's part two. I want your journey, your creative story, to be the best it can be. How to write your creative autobiography so people can learn from you, at least your figurative creative autobiography, so they can learn from what you're doing and be encouraged and inspired. And I think you should share your journey. I think you should share what you've done, what you've learned, because when you teach someone else about what you've done, the focus isn't all about the students. It's not all just like one-way learning, right? The teachers learn as well. Those that are sharing learn as well. And there's this concept called the learning pyramid. And it's this concept that suggests that you retain is something like 90% of what you learn by just doing one thing. And that's by teaching someone else what you have just learned. Because it's like teaching requires the most concentration. It makes you kind of make mistakes as you're trying to explain it. And you're like, oh, I don't know. How do I explain this? How can I figure out a better way to explain what I've learned? And then you've got to fix that. And then you have to concentrate even more. And so when you turn around and teach someone else something that's happened in your life or something that you've learned, you learn it so much better and in a much deeper way. And so I hope that's what you do with this podcast, right? If you hear something that is encouraging, if you hear something that challenges you, that you would tell someone else, that you would teach someone else the same thing that you learned, that you would teach it forward. Because the amazing thing about this podcast is that I'm learning so much about myself and about these concepts as we talk about it. And I get to share all of those things that I'm learning with you, my fellow obsessed friends. Because when you decide to teach someone else, explain a concept to a friend, it's not all about the student, the person learning. It enables all of us to learn together. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named Jordan Peterson. He's a clinical psychologist here in Toronto, University of Toronto. And he, if you know about him, you probably know that he's a figure that sparks a lot of debate, none of which I want to get into. I don't want to get into any of that. But I did hear him speak once here in Toronto a few years ago. And something he said at the beginning of his kind of talk, which I thought was really interesting. And it was about him talking. It was about him being on stage and about being a speaker and about being a teacher. And what he said was like, I'm just on stage here and all I'm doing is just thinking. I'm thinking out loud with an audience. I'm thinking out loud with you around me, because that's what writing and that's what talking is. And this is what he's saying. It's just thinking out loud or thinking on a piece of paper. And that statement really impacted me, because not only did it change my perspective on writing and speaking, but it made me really think, like, what do I think about? Right? What do I think about? Do I think about things that I can write about? Do I think about things that are worth talking about? Like, what goes on in my brain? Which goes into what today's podcast is. This is part two of your creative autobiography. Because in part one, we talk about, you know, someone else writing your story, someone else affecting your autobiography. And we had the help of, you know, the golf bags and the tees to drive home the point. That was terrible. Drive home the point. It's like a, you know, okay, that is the last, that's the only joke like that today. I promise. It's horrible. But so today it's all about, you know, writing your own story, you writing your own story. So I think through part one, we've kind of identified some points when someone else is writing your story. And now it's our turn to write our own story. Why is that important? Why does it matter? It seems maybe a little silly to be talking about something so abstract, like you're not actually writing an autobiography. Like, why does this matter? And this is why I think it matters, is because the story that we tell ourselves, the story that you tell yourself every day, isn't abstract. It's what you hear every day. It's what I tell myself every day. And whether you realize it or not, you are the loudest person in your head. And the story that you tell yourself every day is the life that you live. The story that I tell myself about what my creative work is worth, what I'm worth, what my creative ability is worth, what it is, what it isn't. That is the life that I live. It's how I view the world, how you view yourself. So your story matters. Your autobiography matters because it literally changes how you see your life, how you see your creative work. And so I think I thought of three steps for us to begin writing our own creative autobiography. And I use the word creative specifically because I think there's other issues of life and emotion that I'm way out of my depth on to talk about. And that's, we're not getting into that on this podcast. But I really do hope, as you think about the story of your own creativity, that it'll start getting you to analyze and think about the other stories you tell yourself. Because once you start getting into what you think about, you know, your ability of being a creative, of being an obsessive creative, it starts to lead to so many other things. And so I hope this can be the beginning of a journey of clarity on a lot of things in your own story, because it has for mine. So I think the first thing that we can do if we want to write, if we want to be in control, if we want to start writing our own creative story, is that just accepting the fact that we can start with the draft that we already have, and to identify what I'm telling myself today about my creativity. So, okay, so back to that statement about Jordan Peterson, right? He says writing and speaking is just thinking out loud. So if we reverse kind of that statement, what if you started writing down those exact thoughts you had about your own creativity this week? What if you took a piece of paper right now and a pen, like a physical paper and pen, and wrote down, like, actually, like, on the piece of paper, and you watched your hands make the letters and you wrote down, not like typed it, but you really, like, you spent some time and you sat down and you thought, like, by yourself, like, you turned off your phone, you turned off the music, and you just focused and you wrote down what you really think about your creative self, your creative story. And this is, we're not talking about like writing what you're going to put on your website or what you think you want other people to believe about you, but like, what do you really believe about your creativity? I want you to write down on an actual piece of paper what you really think. Like, I know you might not like admit this on like on your Instagram bio, but that's okay. Like, what would it really look like? Would it say something like, you know, I'm a growing creative, enjoying the journey, learning my craft and accomplishing some good things along the way, right? I think that's kind of like where we want to be. Maybe the, like the poster child thing. Is that the story you're telling yourself? If so, awesome. Like, but is it possible that you're telling yourself like, I'm a stupid idiot loser moron and I can't paint and I should just give up while I'm ahead, and I'm not the artistic one in my family, like I'm not the creative one in the friend group, or you know, this other friend is so much like more creative than I am, I can't do that, I'm not talented, I haven't accomplished enough. I think in my own life, it's amazing that I am not even aware of what I'm telling myself. I'm not aware of that story that I repeat daily. And I think the first step in writing your own story, writing a better story, a better draft than what you have right now, is to simply start with the draft that's in front of you. And I'm using the word draft for a reason. Because you don't need to get mad at yourself for having drafts, right? Because drafts are just the first round. and as creatives often do, we have lots of self-doubt and we have the imposter syndrome and all of those things. And I don't think the point is to get mad at ourselves for having that in there. But who's to say that we have to have that? Who's to say that we can change that identity or that feeling that we have to always feel like an imposter or whatever it is? So let's start with the draft. Let's accept that it's a draft and that it can be changed, and you can take your ownership over this draft. And then I think the first thing is like, okay, let's take ownership of it and dissect it. So you've written down a few sentences of kind of that reoccurring story that you tell yourself about your current creative journey. But just make sure it's really what you think. Spend some time thinking, like, what do I tell myself often? Now, what do I tell myself? How do I describe my own creativity to myself? And then at the top of the page, write draft one, because it's about to change. It's about to become a revision. Okay, so number two, you've looked brutally honest at this like sentence or couple sentences of yourself or a little paragraph. And now I want you to make two lists underneath it, one side and the other side. And the one list is going to say things I'm going to stop telling myself. And the second list is things I want to start telling myself. Things I want to be true. So we had this saying between my wife, Allie, and I, when we hear the other person say something that we don't, you know, think that they should say to themselves, that's part of, you know, that column that says things that you don't want to say to yourself. And what the saying is, would you say that to a child? Like, why is that idea impactful? Well, I think it's because the idea that children are impressionable, and if you say a mean thing to a child, they might cry, or they're impressionable, right? They're really going to take in what you say to them, because, you know, the phrase kind of makes sense, like, oh, children are impressionable, and be careful what you say around children because it's really going to affect them. And I started to think about that phrase more and more, and somehow along the way, like, when did we believe that once you're old enough not to be a child, that you aren't so impressionable anymore? Like, when you're past 18, sticks and stones will hurt your bones, but words will never hurt you, right? It's like, oh, okay, well, once you're past 18, it's like we're not impressionable anymore, and it doesn't really matter. Like, but it does. Maybe we aren't so different than the children. Maybe we need to be really careful about the stories and the things that we tell ourselves and what we allow other people to tell us. Because maybe, just like children, if we tell ourselves we will never amount to anything, we will never try. And maybe, just like a child, if we're encouraged and we're told we can do it, maybe we'll figure out a way how to do it. What if we took a look at that sentence we wrote on that piece of paper, and we took out the things that are negative and switched them to sentences stating that we were going to grow in that area, and this is what I was going to do instead of the negative thing that I was doing? What if we included true and positive things that we were doing well and that we were proud of? What if we wrote down things that we wanted to be? Ways we wanted to be described. What if we told ourselves a new story instead of the negative story we often tell ourselves? What if we realized that things could really change if we became more of a cheerleader in our own mind, as opposed to being in the boxing ring every day? What if we changed the story we told ourselves? Okay, so say you work on this new story and you have all these things on this piece of paper, like, okay, you know, things are negative in my life and I'm going to change them, and this is what that looks like. Okay, these are the good things I'm doing in my life, and you start telling yourself, you know, this thing, and you have this thing on this piece of paper of this new story that you want to start writing. Okay, so now what? Number three is that it takes time to write a new story. The reality is, you may have been telling yourself a really crappy story for a long, long time. For years. And here you are with a new story in front of you, and it's time to learn. I was very into acting in high school and early university, and I had done a few lead parts for plays. And one of the hardest things of being a main character in a play is that you have to know your lines. Like, there is no way getting around not knowing your lines, because when you're a main character in a story, you carry the storyline. So if you screw up a part, or if you forget one of the lines, you can mess up so many other people's lines, right? Like, if you miss a part of the story, then the whole story is messed up. You can completely derail the whole performance. And at the beginning, when you first get your script, at the very beginning process of practicing a play, it's all about learning the lines. It's all about learning what the play is about, you know, what your motivations are. And before you're off book, before you don't need to look at your lines anymore, you need to read them over and over and over and over again, because it's a new story to you. When you first get your script, it feels so new, and you have to learn the nuances. You have to learn everything about it. You've got to get it in your brain, and it's easy. There is so many times when I was, you know, in practices, in rehearsals, and you forget the storyline, and you got to yell out line, and they give you help with what you've forgotten, because new stories are hard to learn. It doesn't happen in a day either. Like, you can try to cram your lines in one day before you have like your off book date, but it doesn't work that way. It takes time to learn. And you know, the only way to learn lines for a play is you got to read them. You got to read them over and over again, and you got to say them to yourselves over and over again while pacing in your living room, back and forth in your kitchen. You've got to get like some friends to encourage you, be like, okay, can you hold my lines? I'm going to say them back to you. Can you, you know, tell me how I'm doing? Can you remind me of the lines? You've got to get people in your corner that can help you memorize the story. And eventually you start remembering the right things, right? Eventually the next sentence just comes to you. And eventually it's second nature. Like you just live and breathe this story that you're learning to perform. But it takes time. And I think if you want to write your own story, a new story of what it means for you to be a creative, if you want to change your creative narrative, you need to do it purposely. Right? You need to write down where you are right now. You need to look at that story. You need to break it apart. And instead of beating yourself up, put down things you want to grow in, but also put down things that you've done well, that you want to encourage yourself in, and then learn those lines. Get people around you to remind you of the story that you want to learn, and read them over and over every day until your new story becomes your story. Thank you so much for listening this week. I hope each episode encourages you to lean into who you are as a creative and do work that matters. If you love the podcast, I would love, love, love if you left a review. It doesn't have to be any words, just a rating is swell. But if you want to leave a message, I will read them all. And until next week, stay obsessed.